Good morning. A few weeks ago, I came across an article that had been written by a woman who had been in the child care business for about 30 years. And in this article, she noticed some changes that have taken place involving technology. And so she wrote this article and she talks about how to miss your child's younger years. And she titled it, How to Miss a Childhood. And this is what she writes. Keep your phone turned on at all times of the day. Allow the rings, beeps, and buzzes to interrupt your child mid-sentence. Always let the caller take priority. Carry your phone around so much that when you happen to leave it in one room, your child will come running with it proudly in hand, treating it more like a much-needed breathing apparatus than a communication device. Decide the app you are playing is more important than throwing the ball in the yard with your kids. Even better, yell at them to leave you alone while you play your game. Take your children to the zoo and spend so much time on your phone that your child looks longingly at the mother who is engaged with her children and wishes that she was with her instead. While you wait for the server to bring your food or the movie to start, get out your phone and stare at it, despite the fact your child sits inches away, longing for you to talk to him. Go to your child's sporting event and look up periodically from your phone, thinking she won't notice that you are not fully focused on her game. Check your phone first thing in the morning, even before you kiss, hug, or greet the people in your family. Neglect daily rituals like tucking your child into bed or nightly dinner conversations because you are too busy with your online activity. Don't look up from your phone when your child speaks to you or just reply with an uh-huh so she thinks you were listening. Lose your temper with your child when he bothers you while you are interacting with your handheld electronic device. Give an exasperated sigh when your child asks you to push her on the swing. Can't she see that you're busy? Use drive time to call other people, regardless of the fact that you could be talking to your kids about their day or about their worries, their fears, or their dreams. Read email and text messages at stoplights. Then tell yourself that when your kids are old enough to drive, they won't remember that you did this all the time. Have the phone to your ear when she gets in or out of the car. Convince yourself a loving hello or goodbye is just highly overrated. Follow this recipe, and you will have missed opportunities for human connection, fewer chances to create beautiful memories, lack of connection to the people most precious to you, an inability to really know your children, and them unable to know you. This, unfortunately, is the state of life with technology. And what I would like to do, what I would like you to do for a second, whether you have kids or not, I want you to think for a second about what happens to a society when its technology surpasses its humanity. Because that's what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is allowing the things in our life to become more important than the people in our life. And as I put this lesson together, I'll tell you right now, I'm as guilty of this as anybody. Because there are a lot of times where I focus on all of the buzzes and the beeps and the rings that go on in my house. And I'm very quick to pick those things up. But it's true that if you do this, you will miss something else. Because time is a finite thing. And so what we're going to do this morning is take a look at this concept from a biblical perspective. Because you see, the woman who wrote this article was not writing from a biblical point of view. She was not looking at this from a Christian point of view. She was simply writing it from a practical standpoint, from the things that she has seen with her own two eyes with the parents of modern children living in a modern technology age. And we are passing this gift of neglect onto our kids. And so they're doing it too. And so if you think about it, what do you think it will be like for their kids if we don't make some changes now? Take your Bible and look over at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 4. And notice what Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. He says, "No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him." The word entangled is the same word that you would use for all of those power cords that you have behind your television or your computer. Now, I'm pretty sure many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, you have the cord for the TV, and then you have a cord for a stereo, and maybe you have a cord for a DVD player, and you have a cord for the telephone, and anymore, it's not just one cord that goes to the device, it's two or three cords. And so you go back there and everything's just all entangled and it's one big mess. Or maybe you have a drawer full of cords in your home and you open that drawer and they're not nicely placed in there. They're all tangled up in 1,600 different knots. And so you got to spend time untangling them and getting them loose and all that stuff. But that was never our goal, was it? It was never our goal for these cords to be tied 1,600 different ways. That was not our goal. But somehow, it just happened. You see, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, Paul understood that Timothy was a good man. He understood that he was a good man with the right heart for evangelism. He had the right heart for sharing God's word. He had the right intentions. But regardless of the intentions, it is still possible for people to become entangled in this life. So if you're looking at yourself and you look at that and you say, "Oh, that is me. I'm completely entangled in this life." Well, I want you to realize that that doesn't condemn what you mean to be. That recipe there that so many of us so very quickly follow in our life, you know, to miss out on friendships, to miss out on relationships with Christians, to miss out on our children, to miss out on our parents. You didn't mean to do that. But you are where you are. The cords are tangled. And Paul says that there's only one thing that you can do, and that is you have to focus on what you want out of life. That's what you have to focus on. But notice Paul said that no soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits. A soldier has one purpose. A soldier has one purpose, and that is to be there to defend the country that he is in service of, and to stand and fight for his commander, whoever that may be. In our case, we stand for the country of the saints. We stand for God's kingdom. We are here to bring the truth of God to each other in order to strengthen and encourage each other, as well as those who need it. And we stand ready to serve the King of Kings. And if you forget that, and you get entangled in stuff, and it wraps up in all of these things that you never intended to do, but you get wrapped up in these things, they begin to drain the life from you. They take that finite time away from you, do they not? And so we become entangled. But then in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Now, I'm not here to tell you this morning that all technology is bad. I'm not saying that at all. There are a lot of wonderful things that have come from technology. We're using technology right now. But the key is, are all of these things in your life, have they become a weight in your life? Or are you using them as a tool? You see, the scriptures say that if it is a weight, If it is holding you back from something better, then it is a weight. It is something that is keeping you from what you want. And that's what we have to ask ourselves. What do we really want? For example, what is our goal with parenting? What is our goal with parenting? Is our goal to just get them out of the house as quickly as we can? Make our kids reach adulthood as quick as possible and make them independent as quickly as possible and just get them out of the house? If that's your goal, then you can do that without paying a lot of attention. But if you have higher goals for your children, if you want to have a successful family, parenting to succeed is very different than parenting to just survive. And if we want to parent to succeed, then we must begin to lay aside every weight. Now, this is true of your kid if your kids are teenagers. This is true if your kids are toddlers. This is true if you don't have kids at all. In fact, if you do not have any children yet, now is the time to really look at this. Before you have ever even begun the race, decide how you're going to play this thing out. Don't decide after you've had kids. Make the decision before you have children. And if it means putting restrictions on yourself by saying, you know what, I'm only going to be on the computer for this amount of time during the day. Or I'm only going to purchase a dumb phone instead of a smartphone because that's going to take too much of my time. With all the text messages and all of the apps that I get addicted to on my phone, I'm just going to dumb it down and get a phone that I can call somebody with. You do what you have to do. It's not that technology is bad. It's not that technology is bad, but it should not own you. You should own it. I mean, think about this. How crazy is it that we go to the store and pay hundreds of dollars for things that own us? You paid to become a slave. Do you realize that? You paid hundreds of dollars to become a slave. And so we are told to lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. That's the trick, because it's so easy to get snared. It's so easy. I think one of my favorite verses on this topic is Luke chapter 10. Go ahead and turn there if you will. Luke chapter 10. And let's look at verse 40. In Luke chapter 10, and verse 40. In Luke 10, Christ was in the house of Martha. And Martha had a sister named Mary, and Jesus was teaching there, and people were gathered around to hear Jesus teaching, and Martha was busy preparing a meal. And as she was trying to get everything ready, and it was too much to take care of and too much to handle, in exasperation, she turns to Jesus, and notice what she says in verse 40. It says, "But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.'" Notice that it said that Martha was distracted with much serving. You see, all of the serving that she was doing was missing the point. She was missing the point. Jesus says that to her, and he says it with a gentle tone. He doesn't get angry at her, but he says something in a gentle tone. Look at verse 41. "But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things.'" It is not a bad thing to be hospitable. It is not bad to be hospitable. If somebody came up to you and they said, "You know, I would love to have people over at my house all of the time. I would love to have people to come over and have a good time and feel welcome." Would you look at them and say, "Don't do that. Don't do that at all. I just would not do that"? Of course not, because it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Unless it distracts you from that which is better. And that's what Jesus says. There is one good thing, and there is one thing that matters. If what you were doing gets in the way of that one thing that matters, then it's not a good thing. And so we have to look at our life and we have to look at our priorities. We have to look at things like technology and recreation and sports and so forth and so on. I mean, you look out there, how many parents out there have their children playing in 10 different leagues? And you realize that we're out here doing all of these things for our kids. You know, we go here and we go there, and I'm soccer mom and I'm soccer dad, and we're just on the go, and we've got them in basketball, we've got them in baseball, we've got them in football, we've got them in band, we've got them in this, and we've got them in that. And then you realize that you haven't even eaten a meal or had a conversation with your child in months. Now somebody comes up and they say, hey, do you think it would be good if my kids played sports or were involved in things? Absolutely. It is great that our children are involved in different activities. It is good for our kids to be involved in things, but not if you lose your kids to those things. You cannot lose your kids to those things. Not if you lose your Christianity to that. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. It's all about thinking it through. You see, God gave us a mind and He wants us to use it. And I can't get up here and say, never watch TV, never own a phone, never own a computer. I'm not saying that. That is not the point. The point is, use the 6 inches between your ears and prioritize what you really want in life, or life is going to prioritize you. And you will end up being distracted by which plate goes with which. When God Himself is in your living room speaking. Do you realize that's what's happened with Martha? God Himself is there giving a lesson, and she's worried about which fork goes with which spoon. Good intentions, best of heart, but missing the point. You see, there's no good excuse for missing a childhood. There's no good excuse for being distracted that we miss out on what really matters in this life. In Luke chapter 14, Jesus tells a parable of a wedding feast. And there were people who were invited to go to this great dinner. But in Luke chapter 14, beginning of verse 16, notice what it says. But he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame. And the servant said, sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room. And the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. The point of that parable is that the excuses seem good, don't they? The excuses seem good. Notice one guy said, you know, I just bought some land, and I need to go out there and I need to take care of it, and so I'm really busy. You know what? That's a good excuse. I bought a lot of land. I need to take care of it. But he misses what's important. He misses the meal. He missed people over stuff. Notice the next guy said, I just bought some oxen. I just bought some oxen and I need to go examine them. And so I just ask for you to excuse me. Well, again, that sounds like a pretty good excuse. I have these oxen. I need to go take care of them and see if they're good or not. Well, First of all, why didn't you examine the oxen before you bought them? But second of all, can't that wait? Can't that wait? And then the third guy, I've just married a wife, and so I'm not going to be able to make it. That's a big event, is it not? Getting married? That's a big event. Well, why can't you bring your wife? Bring her too. You see, we've got excuses. We give excuses for why doing what we ought to is just inconvenient. Because that's what all of these guys are talking about. It's inconvenient for us to make it. I have all of these other things that I've got to do. I have a lot on my plate right now, and so it's a little inconvenient for me. It's going to take a lot of time. But you know what? Inconvenience is not a good excuse. It's not. And so we go through life making excuses. Notice how each one of them said, "Please have me excused." But also notice that the response of the master is no. No. Do you realize that? They say, "Please have me excused for this reason or that reason." And the master says, "You know what? You're not excused. You're not excused. You made a commitment to me to be here. You are not excused." Now, for those of you who are parents, I want you to realize that when you had kids, you made a commitment. You made a commitment to be their parent. You made a commitment to be there for them, to raise them, to give them your absolute best. And the "please have me excused because I am so busy at work," or "I've got this," or "I've got that." Ladies and gentlemen, that is not an excuse. That is not an excuse. It doesn't count. And you know what? God is going to say no. And we have to take that to heart, that there are certain responsibilities that God gives us. And He says, if you're going to be my child, then there are certain things that you're going to have to do. And so, "please have me excused," just because you say it doesn't make it true. You are not excused. There is no good excuse. Go back to the Old Testament, to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. In verse 7, it speaks of God's laws. But notice what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7. "You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." That right there is a fully engaged parent. That is a fully engaged parent. That means that whenever their children are with them, they are with them. And I say that cutting myself first. Because there have been a lot of times where I have not been fully engaged, where I gave my kids what was left. And we live in a world that wants you to do that. They want you to do that. You look around at the world today and all of these kids that are growing up, those of you who are teachers can see it. There are many who are growing up without mom and dad. They're growing up getting their morals from television and their friends, and we look at them and we think, "Oh, this is just horrible." But you know, there's only one being who smiles at that. Satan absolutely loves kids who are not tethered to morality. He loves them. Kids who don't have parents who are worth honoring. Parents who have made it a burden to honor them instead of a joy. Parents who have not been engaged in the life of their children. And I'll tell you right now, Satan has no problem engaging your kids. Because if you won't do it, he will be more than happy to fill the void. And that's why all the way back in the Old Testament, you see, kids are kids. Kids are kids, and people are people. All the way back, God says, "Now look, when you've got your kids and when you're sitting in your house and they're there, Talk to them. And when you're walking along, they should know that mom and dad wants to have a conversation with them. Don't waste those moments. Don't waste them. When you lie down and when you rise, I don't know about you, but I have found that one of the most profitable times with my kids is bedtime. And I say that because there's something about hearing your child pray at the end of the day and listening to the things that they're thankful for and the people whom they're praying for. And I realize that when you hear your kid right before they shut their eyes, you start to see what is actually connecting with them. Because during the day, you're just go, go, go. But at the end of the day, and all of the energy has been expended, the culmination of the day comes out of their mouth. And that is what you're looking for. That's what you're looking for. And you don't get that when you're not engaged. We miss those things when we don't give our kids meals together, family time, disconnected, unplugged time. You know, I tell people all of the time that neglect counts as bad parenting. Neglect counts as bad parenting. A lot of times when we talk about bad parenting, we talk about those who are actively doing things that are not in their kids' best interest. Now look at that guy. He's constantly yelling at his children. Or look at that mother. She's so mean and she has that active unkindness to her children. But you know, just neglecting your kids, that's bad parenting too. You don't have to beat your kids to be a bad parent. A lot of times that's who we look at as bad parents. Those people who are abusive and beat their children. Yes, those are bad parents. But not being there for them is bad as well. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 4, mothers talking about older women, it says, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children. And our children need to know that they are not a burden. And Titus says that the older women need to teach the younger women to do that. Because there are days where you just want to go into the other room and you want to put your face down into a pillow and you just want to scream at the top of your lungs. I know. I've seen it. I've been there myself. But how many mothers, how many of you who are mothers have heard this before? All day long. Mommy, mommy. Mommy, mom, mom, mommy, mommy, mom, 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 all day long. But you know what? You have to remind yourself that they are a gift from God. They are a gift from God, and they are learning. And these things happen. But this is the world that we live in. The world wants you, they want you to view your children as a burden. Don't spend time with them at home. Are you kidding me? You need to get out and have fun. Don't stay at home. Look at how society views women who stay at home. I mean, think about that. Really? You would rather stay home? You don't want to go out here and have a career and make a lot of money? You want to stay home with your kids? Are you kidding me? That's not fun. That sounds really boring to me. I mean, what do you do all day? You don't clean and cook and watch your children and teach your children, do you? That's what the world comes out and says. I'll tell you right now, those of you who have stayed at home or are currently staying at home with your children, know full well that you probably work a lot harder than your husbands and don't make any money doing it. Love your children. And then fathers. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 21, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. You know, there is more than one way to provoke your kids. You can provoke them by poking at them and making things hard on them. Or you can provoke your kids by when they just want you to say, I'm proud of you. When your kids are just looking for your attention. Hey, Dad, watch this. Hey, Dad, let's go outside and play. Let's go throw the ball back and forth. Let's kick the ball back and forth. Hey, Dad, look what I drew. When you don't give them attention, that is discouraging as well. You think about the child who draws a picture. And they're so proud of that picture. And they take it to Dad and they say, Dad, look what I drew. And here's the dad on his phone. That's nice. And then they get on the phone and they start talking. What does that do to a child? They're so happy and it's like, Dad, my dad doesn't care. It's a different type of provocation to your children. When you neglect your kids and you make them feel like they can never be good enough, guess what? You get the society that we have today. A bunch of kids who feel disconnected from their parents and they feel like they're just never good enough. And so they will go and do whatever it takes to get that love somewhere. To just get someone to tell them, I'm proud of you. And it leads to all sorts of societal problems. But one of the things that we need to remember with our children, and this is true also with grown-ups as well, that when someone comes to you with a problem, no matter how small you feel the problem is to them, it is not small, is it? How many times have your kids come up to you crying and they're grabbing their arm or saying, ow, 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 I hurt myself. And so you look at their arm and you don't see anything. It's not even red. And to you, that's not a problem. And sometimes dads may be like, hey son, come here and look at the war wounds that I've got. Don't quit your crying over that. Or you can kiss it and you can say, I'm so sorry. I hope you feel better. And they go back to playing. Give them some comfort and then back off to play again. Comfort is when you take somebody and you take them seriously. No matter how small the problem is to you, it is big to them. And when we have to remember that in parenting, we have to remember that. And we have to remember it with others as well. Because whenever somebody comes to you and they have a problem, and you say, oh, I've seen that problem 10 times, that's not a problem. To them it is. To them it is. And people who are fully engaged in the lives of others look at it through the other person's eyes and they say, what can I do to help? The last thing I want you to think about this morning is at the end of your life, when you close your eyes for the last time, you know what? You will not regret not buying that new tablet. You will not regret television series that you never got around to watching. You will never regret the Facebook games that you were planning on playing. But I tell you what you will regret. You will regret anything you left out unsaid to people in your life. You will regret that. You see, if you and I will engage in the lives of our children and the lives of others, if we will engage with one another, you will live a life without that regret, and it will be time well spent. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 20. For he will not much remember the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with joy in his heart. It's a lot of work to be a parent. It's a lot of work to be engaged in the church. It's a lot of work to love your neighbor as yourself and to actively connect with other people. It is a lot of work. It is a lot of work, but it is good work. And he says that the man that will work hard in things that really matter, he won't even remember the days. His whole life, he won't even remember the days. He will look back and say, man, that went by so fast. but he will have a smile on his face because his whole life was occupied by the joy in his heart. For those of you who have faithful children, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 24, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. For those of you who are on the other side of parenting, and you've got kids now who are Christians, and they're faithful, and they're active, you know this verse way better than I do. There is a joy when your kids become actively involved in serving the Lord on their own. They don't do it because of you. They do it because of them. They do it because they have chosen what is right and they do it for themselves. And when they do that, you get a type of joy that you just cannot get any other way. And you know what? There is no app for that. There's no app for that kind of joy. And Proverbs 23 reminds us ahead of time that the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Those kids, if you engage in their life, can bring you way more joy than you will ever find here. It is time well spent. Engage in the life of others. Because when everything is done, when everything is said and done, you know what? The stuff, the tablets, the TV, the stereo, the phones, all of that stuff that weighs us down is going to get burned up. But the people will remain. If you're here this morning and you've thought about it and you realize, you know what, I have been neglecting the more important things in my life, it's not too late to change. You can change and get your focus on the things that do matter. Maybe you have not been setting a good example for your children. Maybe you've not yet rendered obedience to the gospel of Christ. You have not given your life to Christ and you've not yet repented of the sins that you have in your life. You've not yet confessed Jesus as the Christ. You've not yet been baptized into Christ. Your children see that. And they will follow if you're not careful. Set the example. Let them know the things that are more important in your life. Let them know that God is number one in your life. And you know what? They will follow. But you have to set the example. If you've not done that, take that first step in your life by becoming a Christian and then pass it down to your children so that they can pass it down to their children. Those of us who are Christians, and again, maybe we've let the things of this world weigh us down. You know, God is there saying, repent, I will forgive you, and get back to the more important things. Get your focus on your family. Get your focus on the more important things in this life. And let's roll. Let's get things going. He'll forgive you. But you have to be willing to repent of those things and turn away and lay aside every weight, so that it does not weigh you down. If you have a need this morning, we ask that you make it known right now as together we stand and as we sing.